Now, seagrasses are marine plants that actually evolved first on land, and they've since migrated back into the world's oceans. They might hold the key to freshwater shortages in farming, according to scientists in Saudi Arabia. That's because they've decoded the DNA of one of these plant species, and by comparing the genetic sequence with land-living relatives of seagrasses, including rice, they can see which genes have been altered to endow the plants with the ability to thrive in seawater. And now they know this, the same genes can be bred into food plants, so they too can tolerate much saltier soils, as Carlos Duarte explains.
We have published an analysis of the DNA sequence of a group of plants called seagrass that can grow in the fully submerged in seawater that allow us to understand the changes that higher plants underwent to be able to colonize this environment, and that has implications for our hopes to be able to grow crop plants that will feed the world in the future. Not with fresh water, which is becoming increasingly scarce, but with salt water, seawater.
Now, when you say colonized the ocean, do you mean that these plants didn't come from the ocean in the first place? The plants we see in the sea, this group of them, came out of the sea and went back again?
So we're talking about flowering plants. And flowering plants evolved from marine ancestors that then first colonized fresh waters and wetland type of environments, and then they went on from there to colonize dry land, and they also went back and recolonized the ocean where their ancestors had originated from.
How do you know they did that?
Because we have molecular tools, and looking at the structure of the DNA, we can establish the ancestry of the different groups of plants. And by that ancestry, then we know which ones evolved first and which one descended from the previous ones.
How would I recognize a seagrass if I saw one?
They are rather inconspicuous to us, and they are like just grass. Our audience can probably see them when they walk around the beaches in low tide, and they will be plants anywhere from 4 or 5 centimeters in size to up to 2 meter length leaves.
How do they reproduce?
So they are flowering plants, so they reproduce sexually, but all of them are clonal also. So they are able to produce many copies along a stem called rhizome that lies horizontally on the sediment. And we also discovered that some of these plants, seagrass, they are the largest and the longest living organisms still present on Earth. And in the Mediterranean, we found a set of particular clones that extended over more than 10 kilometers of seafloor. So they were massive, many, many times the weight of blue whales. And they also, we calculated their age to be about between 30,000 and 100,000 year old, the plants that we see living today. So very long-lived organisms and very large.
Given that these plants are very similar to grasses and cereals and rice, which, let's face it, feeds the majority of humans on Earth. Given those similarities, how can you exploit that and what you've learned from the genome to potentially turn these plants into food crops? Is that possible?
Well, that may be possible. And in fact, looking at the use of these plants by different cultures, at least 2 of the 60 species have been used and are being used by some cultures as a source of food and staples.
Already?
Already, yes. One of them is eelgrass. This produces seeds that are very similar to rice. And the Seri Indians in Baja California, then they traditionally harvest these seeds and use them in the same way that we use rice today. And another plant is called Enhalus acaroides that grows in the Southeast Asia. And that one produces very large seeds that have the shape of and the size of a nut.
Are they any good? Do they taste nice?
I actually have eaten them, and they're quite nice. And they're harvested and also eaten by people in the Philippines and other regions in Southeast Asia.
So we could potentially sort of increase that as a food source. But what about also borrowing from biology and taking the knowledge these plants have evolved to tolerate those environments and bringing that back into land-dwelling plants, given the close relationship, to confer the ability to grow in really quite poor soils or salt-dominated soil?
Yeah, so indeed, that was one of the drivers of our research, was to try to understand how these plants were able to cope with full-strength seawater and grow in full-strength seawater. So we could then transfer these mechanisms to some of the crop plants. And the candidate target plant will be rice, because rice also is an aquatic plant. And if we look at the family tree of higher plants, rice is actually very close to seagrass. So now that we have discovered how the seagrass are able to cope and grow in full-strength seawater, we're hoping that we might be able to find ways in which we can assist rice to be able to be grown in increasingly brackish water, perhaps all the way to a full-strength seawater, and therefore alleviate the pressures on freshwater resources that are capping already and will constrain in the future our capacity to produce food to feed an increasing human population on Earth.
Carlos Duarte from the King Abdullah University of Science and Technology, KAUST, in Saudi Arabia. He announced those results this week in the journal Nature.